Good morning. Invite your attention to the book of Hebrews and the 9th chapter. Having a little more difficulty with my hip and my sciatic nerve, so be in prayer for me, but there's no reason why I shouldn't sit down. You get to do that, so we're all in this together. Well, our subject this morning is not a popular one by any stretch of the imagination. No one walks into a circle and says, hey, let's talk about death. And yet our series has been questions that people ask and answers that the Word of God gives. And to be honest with you, there are a great many people, even in church, who are confused about death. And there are some who are really fearful, an unnatural fear of death. And I don't mean to be offensive, but part of the reason for that is there are so many ignorant of the Word of God and what it has to say that death does hold a very fearful and frightening position in their lives. So this morning we're going to look at what the Word of God has to say about death. Why have we turned to the Bible? Why don't we form a committee? Why don't we just discuss it among ourselves and come up with a majority opinion? It's because this book, as far as I know, is the only book that tells us where we came from and tells us where we are. And furthermore, it tells us where we're going. No other book tells us how we got here, what we're supposed to be doing while we are here, and where we can go when we leave here. So, Heavenly Father, we're going to consult your word, and we're going to stand on it and believe in it this morning concerning the subject of death. The certainty of death. The certainty of death. Let me read, beginning in verse 24 of the 9th chapter of Hebrews. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood, not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Let's pray together. Father, anoint this passage to our understanding. May the Spirit have preeminence in our thoughts and in our hearts this morning, and may we learn more about death so that we will know more about life. In Jesus' name, amen. Certainty of death. It is appointed unto man once to die. You know that death is inevitable. From the first breath that a tiny little baby has, every breath thereafter, every step that a toddler takes, every move that a young child makes leads closer and closer to that ultimate moment when this life ends and death occurs. Oh, it could be 60 or 70 or 80 or 90, and some even make it past 100 years. But death is inevitable. We war against it. We eat certain things. We go to the gym and exercise as often as we can. We break all the bad habits that we know how to break. We do everything we possibly can, and including medicines of all sort, to stretch out our days here on the earth. But take all the medicine you will, and have all the diets you can muster and go to the gym every time you possibly can, but ultimately it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. Three guys were standing around talking, and one of them says, "What do you want people to say about you when you're gone?" And the first guy said, "When they walk by the casket and view me, I'd like for them to say he was a great daddy. His kids just really loved him." And the second guy said, "Well, I hope they'll say about me that I was just a great leader of men, that people looked up to me and respected me." And he said to the third guy, "What do you want them to say when they pass by your casket?" And he said, "I want them to look down in the casket and say, 'My goodness, he's breathing.'" But unfortunately, that's not what they'll say, because death is inevitable. Death is impartial. If you were to turn to the Gospel of Luke, the 16th chapter, you would encounter two men. One is very rich. He lives inside the gated community, and the Bible says he fares sumptuously every day. Another way of saying he had all he wanted, he had all he desired. He basked in the riches of this life. And the other man lived just outside the gate, and he was a beggar and a crippled. And he lived from hand to mouth and from day to day begging alms from the people who passed by. The next sentence is quite startling. "And both men died." The rich man who had it all, and the poor man who didn't seem to have anything. And then the Bible says that the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. And the poor man died and was ushered by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The contrast is very real. One was rich, one was poor. One had everything that this life offered. One had little or nothing that this life offered. And yet they both died. Death is no respecter of persons. No matter what you do, no matter what you have, no matter where you've been, no matter who you've touched, there will come a day when life on this earth will end for every one of us, and we will go out into eternity. The second thing I want you to see from this passage is the consequences of death. Acts chapter 17 has a very interesting verse. It's like this. It says that God has appointed a day where he will judge the world by the man whom he's ordained, Jesus, whom he has given to us assurance by the resurrection from the dead. So that one verse talks about a period of time. It talks about a person who will judge us, and it talks about the proof that we will be judged, a period of time. God has appointed a day. Now, I want you to listen to me. We ought to eat like we ought to eat. We ought to exercise as much as we possibly can. If medicines will help us, we ought to take those medicines. And yet, there is an appointed day for our death. I'm convinced that the Bible teaches us we shall not die 1 hour earlier than God intends, nor 1 hour later. It is appointed unto man once to die. As our birth was in the hand of a holy God at an appointed time, so our death is in the hand of an appointed God at a specific and special time. It's appointed. The second thing that he said is a person. We will be judged by the man whom God has ordained, even Jesus. Who else deserves to be our judge? The one who died for our sins, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and broke the grave open and came forth alive forevermore. Death was arrested when Jesus walked out of the grave and ruled and reigned over death. And now he stands in judgment. Now this is another sermon. In fact, it could be another series, but let me just tell you two things. Every true believer will rise to the judgment seat of Christ, where you will be judged not based on your sin, but based on your service. It's not about your salvation, it's about your ministry. Your salvation was judged at the cross of Calvary, and if you've trusted Jesus then and there, you're forever redeemed, eternal life. You shall never perish nor be plucked out of the Father's hand. But you will be judged for the ministry that you live out on this earth, for your service. That's when the Bible talks about being rewarded for the things that you do that are not for self, but for the honor and the glory of God. The unbeliever will appear at the white throne judgment, where no matter what he talks about having done, Jesus will say, it's not about what you did, it's about who you knew. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. The one man who is qualified to judge all men is the one man who died on the cross, was buried in the ground, and broke open the tomb and is alive forevermore. And the proof of that is exactly what I've said. He is alive. Every religious leader that has ever graced this earth, you'd have to go to his grave to visit him, and then only the shell of what he was is there. But Jesus Christ, read the text again. He's in the holy place. He's there to appear in the presence of God. He's there on our behalf. He's there to make intercession for us. He's there because we are going there to spend eternity with him forever. Well, let me come to the good news. Do you know why the bad news is so bad? Because the good news is so good. The bad news is the wages of sin is death. That's bad. But the good news is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that good news? Wake up. Wake up. Turn to your neighbor and say, boy, that's good news. The bad news is we're going to die. The good news is death is not the end of a born-again believer. It's just a separation from this world and a reunion in the world yet to come. So let's talk about the conquest of death. Let me just give you a little insight. The real cause of death. When Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, God gave them free will. And Adam and Eve chose to reject the offer of God and rebel against the word of God, and they fell in the Garden of Eden. And since that time, man has not had a choice about dying. For as one man brought sin into the world, death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you cannot choose whether you will live forever or die in the flesh. But you can choose this morning whether you will live forever in the Spirit. For when you come to Jesus Christ, you are quickened and made alive. Talk about the sting of death. Michael read a few moments ago the Corinthian passage where we're told that we have victory in Jesus Christ the Lord. I'm reminded of the grandmother who ran to the aid of her little grandson who had been stung by the wasp, and she took her fingers and pulled that wasp off her little grandson, and in the process, the wasp bit her on the thumb, and she pulled the wasp out and took it home to glory. And the stinger she removed from her own thumb and threw it to the ground. And quickly told her grandson, you need not worry about him ever stinging you again, for his stinger has been taken away. When Jesus walked out of the grave, he looked death straightway in the eye and said, the sting of death is sin, and I have purchased and redeemed those who will come to me, and the sting of sin will never hurt them again. Oh, I want you to know that death ain't no big deal for the child of God. I want you to know that death is not the end. I want you to understand that the death that you die is not the end of the life that you live. It's simply the falling away of the robe of flesh as we drop and appear spirit and soul in the presence of the everlasting God. Paul said it so simply, absent from the body and present with the Lord. So there's the cause of death and there's the sting of death. Oh, grave, where's your victory? And Paul shouts then, thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That victory that David talked about in the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'll share one of my secrets with you. I listened to an African-American preacher named Ralph Douglas West, and I heard a sermon a few weeks ago entitled Something. Oh, I know that's not good grammar, but you have to go with it. Something's going on in the graveyard. And he used John chapter 11 and the raising of Lazarus from the grave. And he set it up in such beautiful descriptive words, the absence of Jesus and the presence of death. The absence of Jesus in the presence of sorrow. Martha and Mary were weeping and mourning the loss of their brother. But suddenly there was the presence of Jesus and the absence of death. For when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, he did. And he told them to unwrap him, get him out of the grave clothes and put a little grace clothes on, because the life that he now have, he was no longer needing to be in the cemetery. Something going on in the graveyard, he said. And he concluded his message with that simply being a picture of what's about to happen one of these days. The presence of Jesus and the absence of death. And the shout of the archangel and the voice of God and the trumpet sounds, and all over this world from graves and mausoleums, all over this world from bones and ashes shall come the bodies of believers, and we will rise to be with Jesus in the air and stand before God Almighty, hearing Jesus say, these are those whom you have given me, and I bring them to you because of the shed blood of Calvary, and they are yours to enjoy forever. And in the presence of the Lord, we will look backward. As we rise, we will look downward, and we will say, oh, grave, where is your victory? And oh, sin, where is your sting? And then I think we'll look upward and say, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death ain't no big deal. It's just absent from the body and present with our Lord. Let's stand. Now, if you don't know Jesus, death is a really big deal. Without Christ, you have no hope of heaven. Without Christ, you will be separated from God for all eternity. Without Christ, death will claim the final victory in your life. But there'll be pastors here in the altar. The Spirit of God will be moving through the congregation. And if you do not know Christ, today might be that day when His Spirit draws you and His power overwhelms you, and His grace convicts you, and you receive Him as your Lord and Savior. This could be that day. This could be that time when you win the victory over death, when the stinger is removed and you no longer have to worry about dying. Maybe your church membership is elsewhere and you want to become a part of our church family. This would be a great time for that to happen. Maybe you just have a prayer request or want to come and kneel in the altar and pray. Maybe all your life you've been very anxious and concerned and fretful and worried about death. Wouldn't you like to just come and lay that burden down and say, Father, I trust You. Your house is bigger than my house. Your home's better than my home. Your presence is better than this old world. And any time You're ready for me to go home with You, I got my packing done. I've made my reservation. My heart's right, and I can't wait to go. Let go of the concerns and the confusion and the fear, and just say, Daddy, any day now is okay with me. And the rest of your life can be the best of your life because you're not so worried about your life as you are about living for Jesus, who's coming soon. Pastors, come and stand in the altar. Daryl, lead us in this congregational hymn. The Spirit moves. You come quickly. You come quickly.
Lord, what love is this that pays so dear?